All right, this is second session and a continuation of a critical doctrine. Well, they're all critical. It's like a house that's built, and if there's something missing and isn't right, it isn't going to be right. Or an engine. You got to have the particulars in place. Christianity isn't just do whatever you want to do, when you want to do it, think what you want to think, and so forth. If, indeed, you take the Bible seriously. And there's plenty of people that do not, and play everything from absolutely disregarding it altogether to playing fast and loose with it. The truth is straight, and it's narrow. And Jesus made this completely clear. It isn't, God is not the author of conflicting ideas. He is not the author of confusion. Believe what you want. Well, then what's that get you? If the Bible is the Word of God, and God has left this here for the human race to seek Him, seek God, what's that mean? That means to be intellectually honest and say, hey, I'm a dummy, if that's the case, about spiritual things, and I want to get on the right track, whatever it is, whatever I got to do. I did this way back when I was in seminary. Yeah, I'd been a Christian, like I told you, since I was 16 years old. Never raised up in any kind of churches. I visited them looking for answers. Catholics turned me off because they were doing it in Latin and I didn't learn anything. I had a friend out there in South Dakota in a neighbor ranch. Took me off there. No. And I tried another one, and then my parents relocated to St. Louis, and I was bouncing around in there a little bit. And a friend in high school invited me to his church, and I did get the gospel, and that's where I became a believer. But they didn't take me much further than that. It was just sermons. But it wasn't explaining stuff, getting down and making stuff clear. And I went to seminary. I was towards the end of my, because I was going to be a minister, you know, and a Baptist deal. And so I went through that, and I was in crisis. I said, God, you got somebody out here that's got this straight, that will make this clear? And then someone introduced me to the Baraka Church Ministry out of Houston, Texas. And I got their booklet, and their booklets, and two things commended me. I listened to my first tape. What a topic. Spirituality in the dispensations. So I listened, and I said, I like the way this guy does this. This is no nonsense. He speaks as one who has authority, because he did. That's what the religious leaders differentiated, the people differentiated Jesus from the religious leaders of his day. He wasn't like them. Well, content-wise, no, obviously, but also he was one who spoke with authority. If you're dealing with anything in life and you want to be successful, you got to have somebody that knows what they're doing, what they're thinking. And you learn off of that. It isn't a free-for-all. Things wouldn't work. Christianity is no different. If I was wanting to entertain you and bring people in here for entertainment, this isn't a place in that way to be entertained. You want entertainment, you go out there and find your own. I find my own. It's not very elaborate, but this is where you come and fit. So when I heard that, and one of the first doctrines that commended itself, and it's a basic doctrine. See, the Bible says that we're like humans. We're like, in the sense that we start off as babies, and we need milk, soft food. And then we work our way up until we're eating, you know, sirloin steak or whatever. This is a basic doctrine. It's called the ABCs. It's called, there's a title put over it. So with the one word thing, if you've been taught it, it just snaps into your head. You know instantly what we're talking about. We call it the rebound technique. If you only come here a few times, I want you to walk out of here and you heard something that makes sense. You can agree or disagree. There are three adjustments to God. The confusion with regard to the big one, the difference between a person's soul and later their body being in the lake of fire, get this, forever and ever and ever. Anything they accomplished on this earth will not give them pleasant thoughts. No fragrance of memories. Oh, we had this great blah, 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 blah. They're in misery. Their great accomplishments, the wealth they piled up, the reputation they had before the cosmos, it will not comfort them. One decision, one action on the part of an individual delivers them from the greatest peril. And it isn't the current administration. It isn't the current mess this country's in. I've been here a while. I've seen things, they're just spiraling like out of control. It's unbelievable. There is no unity. There is no appreciation for the heritage of this country, the Constitution. It ought to be taught in every school. They ought to have a special class all the way up through there. And these kids memorize the Constitution, the Bill of Rights. Today, they're clueless. So you don't even know when your freedoms are under attack. And they're probably not under attack from somebody out there. It's the worst enemies within a country are, as one Roman senator said, it isn't the flags that are raised up out on the battlefield against us. It's within our own ranks. Traitors. And they come in all kinds, in all classes. We're in a big spiritual warfare. And you got to have your armor on, and you got to have information so you can navigate your way through this and come out on the good side of things. Back to this. Three adjustments. All you got to do is believe in Jesus Christ. You don't have to know a whole lot other than that He died for your sins, and whoever believes in Him has eternal life. And here's the verses, John 3:16. You read that, can't you? It's straightforward. Those that believe have everlasting life. You're imputed with the life of God in your spirit at the minute you believed in Christ. And you can't do anything, nor can anyone else, to mess it up. It's bulletproof. You can't go out here and, well, if you did that, then you would lose. No, you can't mess it up. No one else can separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. You can be a loser believer, and there are plenty of them, not having their act together, but you're still in the family of God. The day you were born again, you had your second birth. All right? That's the top circle, we call it. Excuse me. That's the top circle. When you believe in Christ, you're entered into union with Christ. It is a real union. It is a spiritual union. It is permanent. Now that's good news. You're as saved today as you'll ever be. And that means, what are you going to get from this? Well, when you die, you're going to go to heaven. That's better than the alternative. It's way better. Second, down the road, you're going to get your body back. The body you had on earth. You say, well, mine was kind of wrecked and messed up or old. You're going to be 35 forever. I don't care if it's a father, a grandfather, a son, all the way down. If there were four generations of believers, they're all going to stand toe-to-toe, same age as Jesus when He was taken up out of the grave, 35. Now, this resurrection body has none of the negatives associated with the fall of Adam. It doesn't have an aging gene that gets everybody. It doesn't have a sin nature gene. A sin nature gene. Why people do all this stuff? Why have I committed this act or that one? It's because you have a sin nature. We call it the sinful trend of Adam, the STA for abbreviation, old sin nature. It is passed down from male to son down the line. We can't rise above it. We will be without sin. We'll be without aging. Not only that, that body is capable of things that it seems, well, that's ridiculous. Because I'm basing it on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If that verse in 1 John 3:2 says, what it says, we do not know what we will be, but we know that when he appears, we will be like him, for we will see him as he is. As one person sees another person. And you will have a resurrection body. Perfect. It doesn't need food, but it can eat food. Best of two worlds. It doesn't need air. I guess it can breathe it. Jesus, as I said in first session, to show you what this body can do. On the day of his resurrection, late on that day, he went to the center of the earth. What's down there? Well, was down there a place called paradise. Sounds like a crazy place for paradise. It was paradise. Now paradise is exclusively above. And he took all the souls of all the Old Testament crowd, everybody that had died up to that point, and he relocated them into third heaven. And it says it in Ephesians, he led captivity captive. People in heaven are captives. Well, we're captives down here in a sense. Are you going anywhere? And so he was able to travel through the crust of the earth. If you had your resurrection body, you could walk right through that wall, not mess the wall up, come out on the other side, and anyone would examine you and say, yeah, you're flesh and bone, yeah, blah, blah. You say, how could that be? It seems to violate all the rules of physiology that we know. God can do anything. He's demonstrated this, but people don't take it to heart. I look at this creation now in a different way. I see his works. Land and sea and earth, plants, animals, all of it. You think this happened on its own? This is illogical. Nothing cannot create everything. Even given time. And somebody says the human eyeball has to come 100% right out of the deal, or you'd be blind. It can't evolve. And it's very complicated. The human eyeball. Just one part of your physiology. All these cells had to be programmed. You got a computer, it sits there and looks nice, but it doesn't have any software in it. It didn't go anywhere. The cells have to be, and all these little animals, some of them are goofy looking, some of them are funny, some are scary, some are regal looking, like the eagle or the lion. Some are like funny. What was he thinking when he created that one? The platypus, the duck-billed platypus. Now, that's a goofy-looking one. God has a sense of humor. He put all this in place. And all these things, see, we're all interdependent. All the cells in your body are interdependent. Something goes wrong with one of them, the rest of the body knows about it, and you got problems, depending on the degree of it. So all this is interdependent. These insects need these plants, and these birds need these insects. And it'll go on and on and on and on. They all had to be there at once. He can create out of nothing. He can bring into existence with a snap of a finger. He wills it into existence. It's there. He can will it out of existence too. And he will. He'll take Earth 1 and the sun, moon, and stars. And all that. He's going to take that out and you're going to watch it. You're going to be in your resurrection body. But that's at the end of human history. When we start the new creation, Earth 2. It's in your book of Revelation and elsewhere. So, the basic package is we get a body like his, 1 John 3:2. I can give you other scripture, but I've already gone over that. Now, what now? I'm a child of God. What am I going to do? Be a dummy? Or am I going to emulate my spiritual parent who's perfect and has got everything going for him? So how do I do that? How's a child in a normal household, normal, with a man and a woman and training and discipline and love and all these factors, grow up to be a credible citizen? Well, a lot of them aren't today. It's pathetic. But anyway, with regard to our Heavenly Father, we need information. We need to be taught. Why do we go to school? Ostensibly to be taught. So we're not illiterate. We're in a time when true knowledge is under attack, even in the human realm. It's under attack. I knew back in the day, as a pastor, as a teacher of Scripture, I knew things were corrupt. But I never saw this coming. I'm a girl. Oh, that's great. No, you're not. You can't declare yourself something you aren't. What does that lead to? Well, a whole civilization just disintegrate. We're becoming the laughing stock of the world. Promoting this nonsense. The American Medical Association, they're supposed to be smart people, right? Know all about human biology and all that kind of stuff. They're advocating that they do not put on a new birth certificate, a newborn, their gender, until they grow up and say what they want to be. You say, I thought, oh, you're making this stuff up. I wish I was. No, I wouldn't be making stuff up. I'm not going to be saying this. Because it can only get worse as the rational, the obvious, is turned on its head. And up is down, and down is up, and blah, blah, blah. That's why this civilization is in chaos, moving into chaos. But it's planned. It's not just some people in the street decide to do this. There's always freaks out there. Always has been. But this is organized from a top-down situation. It's satanic. And another thing that's even more obvious today, if you've been watching, is open Satanism. Open Satanism, promoting Satan, not just, you know, evil as such, but tying it to Satan. When they do this in certain ads and certain types of things, you go, what? I don't watch much TV. Well, that's an understatement. I don't watch any. And I'm not telling you what to do. It bores me. It really does. There might be something I'm missing on an occasion. Some people will tell me about something interesting occasionally. I saw something on one of the science things that they've studied human DNA, and the Jewish people come from four mothers. Not one, not two, not three, four. And I go to my Bible, and they're not trying to prove the Bible. And I go to the Bible, and Jacob had four wives. Rachel, Leah, and their two handmaids. And that's where the 12 males came from. Those four women. And they can determine this now. I think that's pretty cool. That's very useful. That's a confirmation, just one small confirmation of the Word of God is the Word of God. Look at our posters on the bulletin board. You'll see where the Jews really crossed the Red Sea. You'll see what people that snuck over into Saudi Arabia, because you can't just walk in there. They won't let you. and Christians who snuck over there and took pictures and gave them of the true Mount Sinai. And the land bridge that goes across from it's misnamed. The Sinai Peninsula is misnamed. When we were there, my wife and I, we drove out there to the, I'll call it the fake Mount Sinai. I saw the mountain. There was tourist stuff and all around. And there's no way you're going to get 2 million people around this. The terrain and the rocks and everything, it's impossible. But when we were on that branch, this branch over here of the Red Sea. When we were on that one, not the Sinai branch, the Aqaba, it's 8 miles across there from the so-called Sinai Peninsula to Saudi. You can see across 8 miles underneath those waters at the Nuweiba Beach is a land bridge, a natural land bridge. God put it there because you couldn't have walked across there even if you removed all the water, because nobody can go down like that and up. And down there on the floor of the Gulf of Aqaba, they've got chariot cabs and chariot wheels encrusted in coral. How in the blank did they get there? Pharaoh and his army went through there. And there's a canyon that comes down. We drove our car up that canyon, the colored canyon, because of the rock coloration. And there's a paved road, just a little two-lane road, up through there, heading off to Egypt. We drove up there, turned around, and came back. In fact, when we went up there, there's three military guys in a little hut thing there. And the officer, he's dressed in white. And the two younger guys are sitting there with their M16s. And they come out to our car. And what do you want to do? We want to drive up there and sightsee. Well, you'll have to leave your passports here. Well, I'd made copies of our passports, and they were... The original was on us, but I had them in my luggage. And I thought, I'm taking the chance. All right. And we went up there and we came back. That's the canyon the Jews came down. Pharaoh's at their rear. They have nowhere to go. There's nowhere to escape. You can't go to the right or the left because of the cliffs. And then you're in the and then you've got too much water out in front of you. Way too much. And then this big old beach called Nuweiba spreads out there. There was one hotel on it. A Hilton at that time. They were building stuff up and down there, and they've done a lot since 99. But anyway, it's straight across there. God parted that water, dried off that land bridge, and the Jews walked the 8-mile trip. It gradually goes down and comes up. At its deepest point, it's almost as deep as the Empire State is high. And stupid Pharaoh, after 10 plagues, hardens his heart. I'm going to get him now. I'm going to get my pound of flesh. And as it says in the psalm, Pharaoh and his entire army. See, Pharaohs didn't do like some commanders sit on a hill and watch their army. They led into the fight. That was a whole part of the whole deal, like with Alexander the Great. He doesn't sit up on a hill on his horse. I'm first in. Inspires the troops. Well, they got in there, and God loosened all the wheels on the chariots. However they were configured. And the charioteers start freaking out. It is too late. The water comes in from the back, and a lot of them get washed up on the beach. And there's a song that the ladies of Israel sang in victory over Pharaoh. Remember, this is the Pharaoh from last class. And the ones before him, a few before him, that were drowning newborn infant baby boys of the Jews in the Nile. Genocide. There's a thing called payback. The payback effect. As a man sows, so shall he reap. So they may get away from it for many years, and then all of a sudden, it's payday. This is what's coming on the human race in the last days. There is going to be a last days before Christ sets up his kingdom on earth, and it's going to be over the bodies of a lot of dead people. All these people will get the gospel. They can make it, they can step free of that. And then they can do what we're supposed to do. What do you want me to do, God? The time left to me. Go have fun? Well, yeah, you can have some fun. This isn't all about not having any fun. Fun is lining yourself with the plan of God. Now back to this. First adjustment is salvation. It's a one-step process. You're in, boom, or you're not. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. He that has the Son has life. He that does not have the Son shall not see life. But the wrath of God hangs over him. It's like a death sentence where you're going to be executed. But here's how you get a parole, or you get pardoned rather. Believe in Christ. He did the work on the cross. Took 3 hours. Blows my mind. On a bright, sunny April day in 33 AD, everybody's around the cross. And the lights go out. And I mean go out. It is dead dark. The kind of darkness you probably will not ever experience unless you go down into the Merrimack Caverns in Missouri. You can almost feel that darkness. It is dead dark. And there's a verse that says, I create darkness and I form the light. God speaking. Darkness is a created thing. I believe the whole earth was locked in darkness. Wherever people were, whatever they were doing, can't go anywhere. Kids are screaming. People are screaming. For almost 3 hours, God took the wrath of the collective sins. Nobody could put a figure on this. In 1 minute of one day, the number of sins that are committed on this earth, it staggers your imagination. You don't have math for this. No computer could handle it. And when those 3 hours were over, and he's still on the cross, right? Got plenty of blood in his body. He's conscious the whole time. He didn't pass out. He says, it is finished. Still on a cross. Has he lost his mind? What does he mean, it is finished? Atonement. Sins were paid for. He went on to be there another little while, and he died physically. Christ died twice on the cross. Spiritual death, that's a real death. We were all born spiritually dead and physically alive. When we believed in Christ, spiritual death was canceled. And so he was under God's wrath for 3 hours, a man who had committed not one little mental attitude sin. And that brings us to the fact that after salvation, we are going to sin. Don't anybody that says that they don't sin is a liar and the truth isn't in them. 1 John 1, isn't there where that first 9 is? So here, you're indwelt by the Holy Spirit. We're commanded to be filled with the Spirit. How do I do that? You get in fellowship. Because you're going to go through the day, this day onward, you're going to commit sins. Once you're informed as to what a sin is. Mental attitude sins sponsor all other sins. Mental attitude sins include worry, fear, jealousy, envy, hate, blah, blah, blah. Then there's sins of the tongue. Lying, complaining. The Exodus generation had it down to an art form. They complained 40 years in the wilderness. They didn't like anything. The first generation of the Jewish nation, the ones that saw the Exodus, that were delivered, saw the plagues over Egypt, didn't touch them with any of them. Every time they faced a test in the wilderness, they started complaining. And it got worse. They panicked at the Red Sea. Pharaoh's coming behind them. Moses calms them down. For once they listen to him. He says, shut up. You can't think right if your mouths are running. Shut up and watch the salvation of the Lord. They calm down. God's jammed Pharaoh and his whole organization all the way. Now he's being set up. Because when the Jews were headed towards the land and the cloud took them south, Pharaoh says, oh, I got them now. It was a trap. It was a military technique, a tactic. He led him into the trap. But after that, every time they had a test in the wilderness, God, you take 2 million people out there, and I computed that based on the adult males and the census that came out of Egypt, 603,000 and plus women, plus children. Plus some non-Jews who said, I think I'm going with these people. I think this is a smart way to go. Called the mixed multitude, some Gentiles. Now God's going to take us out here in this wilderness, and we're on a march towards the target, which is the promised land. What are we going to eat? You can't pack enough food out of Egypt. What are we going to drink? We need water. Oh, God has it all figured out. You have to faith rest stuff. That's what I call people. Faith rest stuff. Faith rest technique. What time I am afraid, I'll trust in God. I got a need. I got something in front of me. I'm putting it with Him. I'm letting Him work it out. When you do that, you have peace, and it's way cool. Instead of going running around like a chicken with your head cut off in little circles and trying to figure out what you're going to do. Okay, back to this. After salvation, you're going to sin. There's not a righteous man that continually does good and does not sin. That's in your Bible. It's in Ecclesiastes, I think, or Proverbs. But there's all the documentation. So when I'm in fellowship, I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. When I'm out of fellowship, I'm quenching or grieving the Holy Spirit, and I'm under the rule of my sin nature, which is embedded in my genetic code. Paul says, I have lusts in every way. Where does it come from? It comes from the flesh. It's not your fault that you have a sin nature. You just have one. You're stamped with it. But you can overrule it. This afternoon, or any time, when you get out of fellowship, someone says something that ticks you off. It's your spouse. Whatever it is. Now you can come back with a STA response to their STA. That's always good, isn't it? Tit for tat. Blah, 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 blah. Or you can decide, I'm going to get in fellowship. I know it isn't easy. Well, it's doable. You get in fellowship. And you do the works of God. Which involves, let's say you go to work tomorrow. You're going to do something. You do it as unto the Lord. And during the course of the day, you may have to rebound 30, 40, 50, 60, I don't know how many times. But it's that easy. Father, I confess the sin of lusting. The sin of judging. Unrighteous judging. You can judge things. Someone does something wrong, it's wrong, period. So you're back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Boom, boom. The Bible says we all stumble in many ways. And he's writing to Christians that know something. You can walk all your life, but sooner or later you're going to trip over something. I've had some good falls a few times. I had one right up here in front of you, didn't I? That was really good. I'm glad we didn't have a bunch of visitors. They'd have probably thought... My main concern was I was going to get blood on my suit. Blood is shooting out my nose like crazy, and I'm right here on my knees in front of the thing. And you all cleaned me up, put a big band-aid across here, and we went on with Bible class. And I made the joke, we all stumble in many ways. Stumbling is akin to sin. And the writer of that book was a believer who said, we do. That's why we've got rebound. It's like... There is an analogy in the Bible. It's like washing your hands. If you're a person that's sensitive to cleanliness, you rinse your hands off. Use the restroom, cook a meal, blah, 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 work on your car, whatever. You wash your hands. Okay? That's why Jesus washed the feet of the disciples in the upper room to illustrate rebound. You're going to need this. He never had to rebound because he never sinned. That's the second adjustment. And the third adjustment is not illustrated in this. It's the maturity adjustment. And boy, are there few that make this one. So what's the big deal? Well, you... And you say, well, I don't care when you step on board this ship called Bible doctrine. You're going to like the destination if you stay on it. But now if you jump ship at the next port because you see something you like... A-W-O-L. This happened to have a lot in history. Some sailor in a port, distant port. He sees some female he just got to have. Instead of staying with his mission. We who stick with this to the end, and I haven't accomplished that yet because I'm still alive. I'm still up here. I'm not in the condition I once was physically. All right, fine. I can get reward for growing old. I got a verse for you. You can sit around and complain about being old. It's called the eternal weight of glory. Now, here's the problem. I cannot describe, like I can in human terms, I can describe what a wonderful automobile is. With limitations. I'm not a mechanic or a... But I can say, hey, there, look at that Ferrari. I can tell you what a nice suit of clothes is. Fabric, maker. I'll tell you that. I can tell you what a good bottle of wine is. Or isn't. There's a few things I know about those things. But I can't tell you and describe SG3. I can only describe the words in the Word of God that says that it is reward, treasure, hope, gold, precious stones, blah, blah, blah. I can identify with those things on earth, but eye is not seen. There's where we're at. Ear is not heard. Somebody told you a story, related it to you. Guess where I was, what I saw. Ear is not heard. It has not entered into the imagination of man, the things that God has prepared for those who love him. That's it. Now, you want to live just for the cosmos? For a nice retirement? For a final this and that? Like Moses in the first session, he left the glamour and glory and the power of Egypt in his position. His right to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter by adoption. And he identified with the slave race. Because he saw beyond their circumstances. He saw where they were headed. What their future was. It's the end game. It isn't how you start off. It's the end game. It's how you end up. That's what matters. And the great thing about the plan of God, it's open to everybody. The rich, the poor, the smart, the low education, from the worst background, ghetto, it doesn't matter what race, what whatever. The plan of God's open. It's available. It's grace. You get in it, and then you get with the marching orders, the directive will of God. And live out your life and glorify God. And if you do that, and if we do that, those of us that do it, and earn the ultimate award. There's one that falls in all category by itself. It's called a finished course. You die positive and adjusted to God, or you're raptured. You're going to get the prize. And those of us that get it, at that judgment seat, and it'll be, this is, you know, they have evaluation ceremonies. This is going to be in the air, up above. Well, up above, a few hundred miles, I don't know, above the surface of the earth. We're going to meet the Lord in the air, and our works are going to be brought out to our attention. Not our sins, our works. You worked at a job. You were a mother. You were a fill-in, whatever. Our works are going to be brought out. And the ones that were done in fellowship is divine good. The other is human good. The human good will be burned up. Somehow, and some display. And what's left for the believer is their reward package. You have an account in heaven with your name on it. Keep laying up reward in heaven by simply being in fellowship of what you're doing. If you have to rebound, it seems like you're doing it constantly. Fine. You're striving to do it as under the Lord and be in fellowship. Sin nature is a powerful part of our existence. It has a mind of its own. I know it does because I got one. It's got a mind of its own. I can't shut it off completely. I mean, I can rebound and resist temptation or resist this or that. I can do that. And another thing that helps a lot is the more Bible doctrine, the more exposure you have to the stories and the information in Scripture, it helps you because you have these examples. I don't envy the wealthy, the super wealthy. And the 1%, are you kidding me? I wouldn't go to 10 miles of those people. There's a bunch of these people that are deep into Satanism. They've sold their soul to get ahead in life. Literally, take an initiation to be a pop star. Oh, that person took the initiation. There was one young girl, she said, I wouldn't take it. She was highly talented, but she was never going to make it up that ladder of the pop industry. Because she didn't take the satanic initiation, which involved blood. human blood.
Oh.
But some people will sell anything to get ahead. They will. Something they would have never thought they'd ever done. Jesus turned down the kingdoms of this world if you'll fall down and worship me. He just shot him down with one scripture. You shall worship the Lord your God, and him alone shall you worship. Thank you, Father, for this opportunity to be here today. May God the Holy Spirit bless and encourage us to apply these things. In Jesus' name, amen.